This is the first question from for today. Venerable Ajahn Anand, how can one determine whether one has the karmic conditions to ordain and practice as a monastic? If I wish to ordain in the future, my father will certainly not agree, as I am his only child, and he does not have faith in the Dhamma. How should I make this decision? I respectfully request your guidance.
So this question that's asked, it's about the future, isn't it? And the question of how one know whether one will have enough energy and the karmic conditions to be able to ordain. And so therefore we should look here in the present moment as the causes that we put in the present moment will fruit in the future. And so the faith, the effort, the mindfulness, the wisdom that we have now, well, is that present and is that enough? If it's not in the present moment, then we need to practice. And so ordaining or finding peace within our heart, and there is ordination of the body and there's ordination of the heart. Ordaining the body is keeping the 5 or the 8 or the 10 precepts, or keeping the precepts of a monk or as a nun. So this is ordaining the body. And we also find the time to train, practice, because we see how our lives also need to depend upon others as well, if one ordains as a monastic. But right now, that we have our own livelihood, we look after ourselves, we can still practice in that condition. And we can still cultivate mindfulness and knowledge in the present moment. And can cultivate the wisdom to be able to let go. And if we do that, then we are ordaining within the heart. So we should ordain our hearts first. And if we ordain our hearts to a full degree, and as we carry on cultivating our bhārami, then maybe the thought arrives that the time that I have to practice, it's not enough. Not enough to really be able to seek out peace and wisdom. And so we can think and contemplate then about ordaining in order to gain that time. But this will happen by itself on its own accord. And for now there's no need to think about that, but rather just practice. And whether we have the right karmic conditions, don't think about that. But you see that now we can put in our effort. You can be listening to the Dhamma, can be practicing, can be training. And it's also important to be under the guidance of one who can guide us. And this is something that Venerable Ajahn Chah said, that if we practice under the guidance of one who knows and understands, then we can go quickly. And so that's how I practiced, and that's how it was. That the monks would study his ways of practice, his training, study the Vinaya under him. And in terms of how much Dhamma they gained, depended upon their bhārami and upon their effort. Is how much Dhamma they could understand. And so we should think that right now we are practicing, that we have this opportunity and therefore we have the karmic conditions to be able to do that. So for now, you really need to use that opportunity to train and practice. So may you set your heart on this.
Venerable Ajahn, first question. How can we effectively practice anatta, along with Marananusati in our daily life? Second question, how do one practice Marananusati? Do we just contemplate intellectually? Third question, mostly I live a life of solitude, physically and mentally. More than half of my day is allocated to formal meditation and other half with work, which doesn't involve much communication with others. And I put conscious effort to bring awareness and contemplation of the truth of the moment while I work. There is joy, PT, but not sure if I'm progressing. How does one know if one is really progressing?
So the act of having mindfulness over death, and so is using the recollection of death as the object of one's mind. So in one's daily life, and one can use this when one wakes up. We wake up and we think, well, today it's not sure. And you don't know whether my life will last until the late morning. So we wake up at, say, 5 a.m. and think, well, will I still be alive at 8 a.m.? I don't know, it's not sure. But we do know that we have to die at some point. And perhaps we will die before 8 a.m. And then if we reach 8 a.m., then we think, well, by midday, will I still be here? And that's not sure. And if we reach midday, then we think, well, in the afternoon at 3 p.m., will I still be alive? And we can, you know, then think at 6 p.m. and carry on going until the time that we get to sleep. And then when we go to sleep, we think to ourselves, well, it's not sure. And will I die while I'm asleep? And so this is using this recollection, bringing up this up as an object of mindfulness. And in this way, then this greed, hatred, and delusion won't come up so much anymore. And we won't waste our time with things that don't give rise to benefit, because we know that we're going to have to die. And so we don't want to waste our time. So this is using death as an object for our mind, bringing up this perception of death, and this can help us to see into not self as well. So this comes up as the sanya, as memory or perception first. And then when the mind is in a peaceful state, then we can kind of see that anew arise again, and that we see the arising, persisting and ceasing of things, whether that is the breath or some material things around us. But then we bring that back into ourselves and contemplate that we too in our own lives are just like that. And so here we can see into anatta, this not self. So this is something that will, as we carry on practicing, it will develop on its own accord. And that we bring up this mindfulness, have this perception, and that then flows into wisdom. So in the beginning, we need to use our thoughts and our recollection like this. We need to use our brain. And so the mind, it gives orders to the brain. And so like this order to think about death and not to think about other things. And then when the mind is peaceful and still, and it's in that peaceful still state, then the brain doesn't think any thoughts anymore. So we should also understand that wisdom, it's not thinking, but rather it's this direct knowledge or understanding. And so this comes from the way that we train. And so also understand that how you are training, it's correct already, and that you are developing and growing. And you can see that if the greed, hatred, and delusion that you experience is reducing, then that's right, what you're doing is correct. Or if it does come up and it fades, disappears more quickly, and the heart feels at ease, spacious, comfortable, then you can see that that's right. But don't doubt about this. If doubts come up, you tell yourself these doubts are not sure, they don't last. Because doubts just stir up the mind. So rather have mindfulness in the present moment, because this is how you'll see into the Dhamma.